بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماسا وتروح بطانا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, and dear listeners in Islam, once again we find ourselves in the most auspicious month of Ramadan, a very blessed month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given special importance. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has mentioned to us it's such an auspicious month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of Jannah in this month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the doors of Jahannam in this month. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned that it's such an auspicious month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect this human being from falling into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah chained up the huge shayateen. That's why they were pious predecessors. The pious ulama of the past, they used to make a special dua and they would supplicate to Allah by saying, اللهم لا تحرمنا خير ما عندك لشر ما عندنا اللهم لا تحرمنا خير ما عندك لشر ما عندنا. They would supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, O Allah, don't deprive us, don't make us mahroom of the good that you have. Because by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are unlimited treasuries of goodness, unlimited treasuries of blessings, unlimited treasuries of sustenance, and there are unlimited treasuries of everything in the side of Allah. Don't let it be that you deprive us because of the evil of our own selves, because of the sins that we perpetrate, because of the sins that we do on a daily basis. Don't let this become a means that we cannot benefit from your unlimited treasuries. Allah actually mentions in the Quran, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. Allah mentions in the Quran very clearly, if I had to deal with you, O mankind, and be fair, on the matter like how you deal with me, you send up evil deeds, you send up sins towards me, and I have to deal with you on a fair basis, then Allah says in the Quran, then the destruction of every single human being will take place. There will be no space for any human being to live, because every day there are angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are recording bala. وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Allah mentions in the Quran, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. There are angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the right shoulder there are angels that are writing all the good deeds. And on the left shoulder there are angels that are writing all the evil deeds. And every day, after Asr Salah and after Fajr, on the changing of the day and the night, these angels go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking to Allah the deeds of this human being. And according to the deeds of the believers, the conditions that are sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in conformance with the deeds that are going up. Obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse, in the fifth juz of the Quran, the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions so beautifully, there is no need for Allah to punish any human being. Allah doesn't get enjoyment in punishing anyone. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ Allah doesn't get any enjoyment by giving us fasting in the month of Ramadan and staying away for so many hours without food and without drink. There's no enjoyment by the side of Allah. If Allah wants to punish someone, it seems as if it's a difficulty. Thus Allah does not get any enjoyment out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actual objective is to see that wa'ade alast, that covenant that we took with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we were in the realm of the souls, and we promised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Islam means to surrender from head to toe unwillingly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no desire from my side, like a slave that comes to his master and the master asks the slave what food you'll eat. The slave says, whatever you feed me, I will eat because you are my master. He say, where you sleep? He say, you are my master. Wherever you make me to sleep, I'll sleep. I am your slave. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created us and sent us in this world. And the objective of this ibadat is actually that we can see that wa'ade alas, that promise that we took to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we genuinely going to fulfill? To see the circumstances around us, to see the situations around us, or are we going to see the decree and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At every juncture of a man's life, there will be two situations. Either it will be the command of Allah, or it will be the situation of fulfilling his nafs and his desires around him. That's why Allah mentions in the Quran, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ Have you seen that human being? And wallah, without a shadow of doubt, we can say it while we're sitting in the masjid. We can say it over and over and over. The greatest religion practice in this world is the religion of fulfillment of the desires of the inner soul. There's no greater religion in the world than the religion of fulfilling a person's desires. Allah mentions it in the Quran, and chapters can be written on this one verse of the Quran. Have you seen those people that have made their base desires, their carnal, their inside and their passions, they have made it their God. They have made it their ilah. They have made it their Allah. They are ready to fulfill every desire that comes inside them. My beloved brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, we have to see in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the blessed life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, the pious predecessors that came before us, see their lives and what sacrifice was given, that it becomes easy for us to fast in the month of Ramadan. It becomes easy for us to stay away without food and without drink. It was mentioned, and the tashkeel was made, and the call was made to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards Tabuk. It was in the 9th year of Hijrah, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved towards Medina Munawwara. It was extremely hot. It was in the months of June or July, and at that time, the dates on the orchards of the Sahaba, the dates were ripened, just ready to be harvested. The challenge was both sides. It was also a monetary challenge. The area they were going to was extremely far. They asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, years later in his life, which was the most difficult campaign that you think? Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, the most difficult campaign. He said it was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the call for us to go in the path of Allah to Tabuk. Extremely hot, shortage of provision, shortage of food, shortage of having conveyances that was not sufficient for Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an. And he says, finally, the thirst that we went through on that occasion, moving and traversing from the blessed land of Medina Munawwara towards Tabuk in the north, This land of desert, it was extreme thirst that we went through. Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentions, حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّ رِقَابَنَا سَتَنْقَطِعُ. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, we went through such severe thirst that we thought because of this thirst we're going to die. He thought because of this thirst we're going to die. Such severity Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went through. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, married to Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an. While her husband Zubair bin Awam was striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an expedition, she says, I was at home and all the money and the wealth that he left behind for me was depleted. It was all finished. There was nothing in my house. And our neighbor had a sheep. And the neighbor, she slaughtered the sheep. فَذُبِحَتْ شَاتٌ فَطُبِخَتْ فَوَجَدْتُ رِيحَهَا. The neighbor, she slaughtered the sheep and she started cooking the sheep, putting it in a pottage. And the smell that was coming out of this beautiful meal that was being prepared, and the severity of hunger was going through. There was no food. There was no money in the house. It was very difficult. And I'm getting this beautiful smell of food coming from our neighbor. She said, I could not manage but to go to the neighbor. And as I went to her, I made an excuse that I'm going to ask her for firewood. I'm going to ask the neighbor for firewood. She says, I went to the neighbor with an excuse that I'll ask her for firewood, but she should give me some meat and some food in return. I went to her, she gave me the firewood and I came home. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Wallahi ma bi hajatun. I take an oath in the name of Allah, I never had no need for the firewood. I just made it an excuse, thinking that she'll give me some food. She never gave me any food. I came back home. That evening her husband came home. Her husband came home and her husband asked her, I get a very beautiful smell of food. She said, yes, I prepared some food. The sheep was slaughtered. It was cooked. The meal is ready. She said, did anyone from our neighbors come and visit us today? She said, yes, one neighbor came to visit us. He said, I will not partake of this meal until we send some food to the neighbor. Until we send some food to the neighbor. Severity of hunger at the time of Sahaba. She says, Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha says, the neighbor sent this pottage of food to my house and I partook of this meal. She says, this was the most delicious meal I ever ate in my life. What difficulty, my beloved brothers, we have to understand the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an. It was on the campaign of Khandaq where Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were digging the trenches and they were singing the words, اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة فاغفر للأنصار والمهاجرة. And on this expedition, Sahaba showed the belly of Rasulullah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on their own stomachs. On their own stomachs, there was one stone tied to their stomach because of the severity of hunger. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after seeing their stomachs that were tied with stones to keep their back up. You see, when there's no food in the stomach, then the stomach goes in. And because of that, the back falls over towards the front. They would tie a stone on their stomach so that their back can stay upright. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed them his own stomach, the blessed stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And two stones were tied to the Mubarak stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, I came in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salah sitting. And the color of his face had changed. I asked him, O Nabi of Allah, why are you performing salat while you are sitting? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aba Huraira al-Jur, Ya Aba Huraira al-Jur, O Abu Huraira, it is because of spasms of hunger. Spasms of hunger, so much of hunger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through that he could not even stand and perform salah. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala started crying. And as Rasulullah s.a.w. seen the tears coming down on his cheeks, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Huraira, on the day of Qiyamah, the least amount of reckoning will be for those people that go through hunger in this world. The least amount of reckoning will be for those people that go through the most amount of hunger in this world, unless they go through that hunger with patience. They have to bear it with sabr, with patience, without complaining and the difficulty that is coming to them. They should not complain to Allah. This is a condition that is on them and they should bear it with patience. My beloved brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, this is outside the month of Ramadan. We're not even speaking about the life of Rasulullah SAW and Sahaba. This was the general life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba, where Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and as we know, he was the greatest muhaddith of this ummah, a person that narrated 5,374 hadith that have reached us. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhum himself, while he was from amongst Ashabu Sufa, he would move and turn and toss from between the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his hujra mubarak, his room where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stay. He would toss and turn. People would ask him, "What's wrong, O Abu Huraira?" They would put their leg on his neck, thinking that he has seizures. But it was no seizures and epilepsy. He had actually spasms of hunger. He was just going through severe hunger in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ka'b bin Ujra radiallahu ta'ala, who comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "O Nabi of Allah, I love you. O Nabi of Allah, I love you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "O Ka'b, watch what you are saying. Beware of what you are saying." He says, "Wallahi inni law uhibbuk." O Nabi of Allah, I take an oath in the name of Allah that I love you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again cautions him and says, "Undur ma taqul." Watch what you are saying. He says, "Wallahi inni law uhibbuk." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, whoever loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَلْفَقْرُ أَسْرَعُ إِلَى مَنْ يُحِبُّنِي مِنَ السَّيْدِ إِلَى مُنْتَهَاهُ. Whoever loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this life, difficulties and challenges will come his way. Just exactly like how when water flows down from a slope going downwards, exactly in the same way, difficulties and conditions will come and he will have to bear it with patience and sabr. This is the true lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, Allah has blessed us in this time and age, wallah, with so much and plentiful of things around us. We have to be actually grateful to Allah. We have to actually be grateful to Allah for the bounties that He has given us and not complain of the conditions that we are going through. This month of Ramadan is a blessed month. The first 10 days which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. And the second 10 days, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third 10 days of the month of Ramadan is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates thousands or millions of souls from the fire of Jahannam. It is actually a time that we have to reconstruct our relationship with Allah. We have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have mentioned that Adam alayhi salam, when he was taken out of Jannah and he was brought on this earth, Adam alayhi salam, ulama mentioned, he had five qualities of his tawbah. And if we bring these five qualities in our life, our tawbah and our repentance and our istighfar, our sincere repentance to Allah will be accepted. The ulama mentioned the first quality that Adam alayhi salam had. He said, "Aqarra ala nafsi." He admitted, when a person does a wrong, every single human being, every one of us are sinners, we do sin, we disobey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a true repenter, a true person, a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll have these five qualities. The first is to acknowledge that we are sinful. To acknowledge that, "Oh Allah, you have blessed me with these eyes and the responsibility of fulfilling it correctly, I did not fulfill it. You blessed me with my ears. You blessed me with my hands. Oh Allah, I acknowledge that I am sinful. That's why Adam alayhi salam, the first dua was, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. To acknowledge and make i'tiraf, to acknowledge that we are sinful. The second quality which the ulama speak about is lama nafsahu. He blamed himself for the evil that he did, not blaming anyone else. وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم. On the day of Qiyamah, the people will think that they can blame Shaytan for the evil that they did. Shaytan will say, I never did anything. I just whispered in your ears. فوسوس له الشيطان. Shaytan just puts that whispering. The evil is perpetrated by the human being himself. Shaitan will say, blame yourself for what you did. La manafsa, a person has to blame himself. And nadima ala dambi, he has to be regretful. We have to be regretful. A person that perpetrates an evil, he disobeys the command of Allah, he has to regret over what he has done. Wa asra at tawbah. The ulama speak fourth quality. A person should hasten towards tawbah. Hasten. A person that disobeyed the command of Allah, immediately he should move towards repentance. Don't wait for time. A person doesn't know if he's going to live. Immediately a person should move towards tawbah. And the fourth quality which the ulama speak about is a human being, this insan that Allah has created us. He should never ever become despondent that Allah will never forgive me. Never ever become despondent. Any amount of sins a person sins, any time that he sins, with any organ of his body he sins, he should never become despondent that Allah will never forgive me. Wallah, my beloved brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, we have no other door besides the door of Allah. We have nowhere else to go besides to repent and to turn back to Allah. There is no other place for us. The ulama further mentioned, these were the five qualities of Adam alayhi salam. They mention arba'un ba'da dhanbi sharrun min adh-dhanb. The ulama speak about four qualities. After a person sins, he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are four things if he does, it is worse than the sin that he has perpetrated. Four things. If he does anyone, it is worse than the sin that he has done. The first is al-istizghar. Al-istizghar. The ulama speak about a person perpetrating a disobedience of Allah and then he trivializes it. He says it's nothing, it's just a small thing. What's it? It's nothing so big. Al-istizghar. He perpetrates, breaks a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he thinks it is very small. Nothing will happen. He doesn't have the importance of the command of Allah in his life. It is actually the quality of kufr and hypocrisy, where a person thinks that the command of Allah, a sin that he perpetrates, is just like a fly sitting on his nose, and with the movement of his hand, the fly flies away. He doesn't have no importance of the command of Allah. The second quality they speak about, that it's worse than the sin itself, is al-istibshar, where a person after disobeying the command of Allah, he feels happy about it. He feels boast. He feels that rejoicement in his heart. And he feels happy. And when he hears other people speaking about it, he feels, why I was not part of them? Why I could not make it that night? Why I was not part? He feels that happiness that he did the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama speak of it to be worse than the sin itself. The third quality which ulama speak of is al-ikhtirar. A person sometimes becomes deceived, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he perpetrates the sin, he doesn't see any harm coming in his life. There's no harm. So he keeps doing the sin. He sees no harm coming his way. So he becomes deceived that Allah is not aware, or Allah is not punishing me, or everything is looking fine. He falls in a condition of deceptiveness, about the reality that Allah has His power. Inna batsha rabbika lashadid. When Allah wants to catch someone, Allah catches him very severe. But Allah gives leeway. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Allah says, leave every type of evil. Leave the inner and the outer type. Sometimes Allah gives leeway to this human being to give him respite and chance that he can come back to Allah. And the fourth quality which the ulama speak about is al-israr, where a person perpetually and again does the same sin. He sees, he does the sin, and then again he does the sin again. And he is adamant in doing this sin continuously. What israr, what being adamant that he's going to continue doing the sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq in this blessed month of Ramadan to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our forgiveness, the forgiveness of our brothers and sisters and the whole Muslim ummah at large. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.